Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Mark 14. Last week, we looked at Jesus's declaration to Peter in regard to his denial. Some things call it a prediction of his denials. Others are prophecies of his denials. In any case, there was a confrontation between Jesus and Peter regarding Peter and his denials. This week, I want to teach on before the cock crow twice and handle the word twice from Mark 14:30. Now, we are practicing and looking at some study principles that although verses, incidents, comments, and even prophecies can appear to be just alike, it does not indicate that they are identical. They may share some similarities, but they are not one and the same. So we want to keep that in mind as we progress. The conversation between Jesus and Peter regarding Peter's denying Jesus happened at different times. It's the same topic, but there are various times that we went through last week to show you. Because in handling Mark 14:30, where he says, "I say unto thee twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And I wanted to handle that word twice on this before the cock crow twice. Although the topic remains the same, by keeping record of who, what, where, and when, we found that since Jesus had told Peter he would deny him three times more than once, in fact, they had this conversation at least three times, and you could consider the final one on the Mount of Olives in two parts and maybe make it a double if you want to keep it as a single. But the point is, we're trying to figure out why this word twice appears. In Luke 22, 33 and 34, Peter vowed he'd go to prison and to death for Jesus. And Jesus said, "The cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice," or three times. This was at a time when they were arguing who's the greatest. They had just handled the situation of the betrayal. And then they're arguing about who's the greatest. And that's after that is when this one took place in Luke. Then in John 13:38, this one takes place after the sop is given at the supper. Peter again asserts he'll lay down his life for Jesus. And Jesus replies, "The cock shall not crow till thou shalt deny me thrice," or three times. Matthew 26:43, this is the one on the Mount of Olives. The other two are at the supper, as you recall. This one is on the Mount of Olives, and all the disciples got involved, that they were not going to be offended, that they were not going to forsake Jesus. And he tells him that he's going to deny him three times. Now, in Mark 14, verse 30, it says, "Verily I say unto you that this..." I'm in Mark 13, 40. That's why it didn't appear right. Here we go. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice," or three times. So what in this world is this word twice about? Because if he's already confronted Peter three times on the same topic, that's passed twice. So it's not the number of times he's counting and saying, "I'm going to do it twice," but it must have some kind of meaning, and we'll see if we can put this all together. You certainly can see that it has come up at least three times between Jesus and Peter. Now, in the East, the cock crows at night. They do have a cock crow at night. They have been reported to crow at 12:30, again at 1:30, and again at 2:30 in the morning. Now, the Romans also, when they took over had established four watches. And the third watch of the night was referred to as the Cockcrow Watch. And a lot of people get confused. Is it talking about a rooster that's crowing, or is it talking about the report, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and all is well kind of thing, the Cockcrow Watch. They would announce at the beginning of the watch, you know, everything's fine, everything's peaceful, and that would go down the line. They'd have several guards, say, around the city, and one would announce all's well here, and the next one all's well here, and it would go around, so they would be able to know that. But Jesus refers to it as the cock crow. He never refers to it as a watch. And I think we can eliminate that as part of the discussion that it was during the cock crow watch at between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And he said, you know, where he said, the cock shall not crow before thou hast denied me three times. So it's referring to the rooster crow, and we'll see that as we go in. As we look at the study of Peter's denials, you may want to get a pad or note cards in order to keep track of who, when, and where, because the originals, everything was joined together. You know, they didn't separate the verses until many years later. They didn't do a lot of the punctuation and things that we're familiar with. So those were all added in by the translators, and they can become a little confusing. And because so much detail is placed in each one of the Gospels, and they're addressing kind of different points or different perspectives, some of the things run together, and you know, in some of the verses, we'll have to separate them in order to find this out and understand exactly what Jesus was talking about. Now, I've also provided for you a drawing I've made of Annas and Caiaphas's compound for our study purposes. Actually, no one knows what it looked like. We just know that their places were joined together, and just for purposes so we can separate different locations or different spots on that compound in order to proceed with our work. I've set that for you. Now, let's go to John chapter 18, and we'll start our study from here. I also want to mention, we're not trying to convict Peter or any of the disciples. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to build a case against him. All of these men were wonderful men. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They enjoyed serving with him. They had incredible minds, wonderful hearts. They were very determined and extremely loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the most loving and deepest respect and intentions toward our Lord. So I don't want this to seem to you like we're trying to convict Peter or say disparaging things about the disciples. That's not the point of this teaching. We're just trying to understand certain aspects of the word. We know things happen, and then I'll have some concluding remarks to set it in its proper perspective. But here in John chapter 18, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden. I shared with you before, it's the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a beautiful place. It's east of Jerusalem, so you would have a beautiful evening view of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Just very lovely place or lovely location. Into which he entered with his disciples. So they were going on their way to the brook. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft time resorted thither with his disciples. He went there many nights, kind of close out the evening, get everybody peaceful, get a great night's sleep, sort of gel some of the things he had been teaching, some of the situations they had gone through, so they have a wonderful perspective of life and how things should really function in the kingdom of God. It was just a beautiful place. Jesus enjoyed it, and I'm sure the disciples did also. Verse 3, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief of priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as they had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Boy, they were just so stunned. I mean, here you have a couple of hundred soldiers coming up to take this one man, and he boldly stands up and says, I'm he. And it just weakened their knees and fell backwards. Really something. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Get a little more specific. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Isn't that beautiful? You know, if you're just coming to seek me, take me, but leave all of these people alone. Let these people go free. Verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Because there could have wound up being a, you know, very terrible battle there. Then Simon Peter, what a guy. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Something. Peter must have had a Verizon moment. He steps in for Jesus. He said, I am he. Can you hear him now? Swoosh. Can you hear him now? He didn't actually cut it completely off, but it was dangling there. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band of the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. By the way, Jesus healed Malchus's ear. If you don't know the record, it's in another gospel. But he healed Malchus's ear, and that must have stunned all of them, and they just were in no position to even take Peter or anything. It was really an amazing situation. So anyway, now they took him to Annas and Caiaphas. Now here's the reason I believe they went to Annas and then Caiaphas. Annas and Caiaphas were both the high priests that year. Now according to Jewish custom, they were to keep the high priest until his death. A man was supposed to serve as a high priest until his death. Which may be why we have Supreme Court justices stay forever. But anyways, that was the custom. Annas was the high priest, and he had been chosen by the children of Israel, the Jews. Caiaphas was his son-in-law, whom the Romans had chosen, because he dealt more specifically with the Romans, and so they had chosen him. Neither of these two men were of the Aaronic line. You know, they were not descendants of Aaron, which the high priest was supposed to be. But both were very determined to get rid of Jesus and his disciples. So either way you went, it was not a good situation. Annas and Caiaphas. Annas is the father-in-law. Caiaphas is the son-in-law. Now, Annas had, I think, something like 7 sons, and none of them were chosen. And they lived in a compound where they shared, shared quarters, they shared the courtyard, they shared the garden, you know, the whole 9 yards. And that's where the high priest got to stay. So, but they took him to Annas first, so we want to make sure we've got that point. Verse 13, and they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. So here we have this great record. It says, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Kind of his word of prophecy, I guess. They were pretty pleased with Caiaphas. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So Peter is, in another gospel, it says he was following far behind, and he's with another disciple. Some people say that that was John. Some things I've read said it was Lazarus. There were a lot of guesses as to who it was. I don't really know who it was, but whoever it was had access to Annas and Caiaphas, so he must have been pretty important in the Judeans' religion, probably someone who may have served on the Sanhedrin Council, because it talks about him having counsel in other sections of the word. But in any case, he was very easily got access and went right into Caiaphas's house. So Peter's standing outside the gate on the street, and this disciple went into Caiaphas's house, went through the door. They have a doorkeeper. They probably have guards nearby and so forth. And he was able to gain access and went right in. Verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in what?
Peter.
So he went in, probably got permission for Peter to at least come into the courtyard area, if you can see kind of on your drawing. At the house, off the street, there would be an entry, which would take you onto a porch, and then the porch would go down to a courtyard area. Probably Annas was on one side, Caiaphas on the other. There may have been some kind of hall that joined the two houses together, because they're family and so forth. But in any case, Peter gets to go in the door. And when he goes into the door, or through the door, it says in verse 17, then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He, meaning Peter, saith, I am what?
No.
Not. There's the first denial. It's happened right at the entryway. You have a female doorkeeper, a damsel, a female doorkeeper, and she says, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter says, I am not. So here's our first confrontation. Who is involved? Well, obviously, Peter's going to be involved in all of them. So you might want to make a note under who: a damsel, a young female porter who keeps the door. What does she say? Aren't you one of this man's disciples? Where did it happen? Near the compound entry, right by the front door to the compound. Okay. When? While Jesus was with Annas. Remember, they took him to Annas first. Later, they'll transfer him, but at the moment, he's at Annas's. Then, verse 18, it says, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So Peter gets in the door. The porter, female porter, confronts him. Aren't you one of the disciples? He says, no, I'm not. And he figures, you know, it's a little chilly. I'm going to go warm myself. I don't know how long I'm going to be standing here. So he comes down off of the porch into the courtyard where they had a fire going. So I would put on there where you have the porch and you see the entry door. There's a porch and an entry door. I would put one female doorkeeper, damsel, and then the scripture reference, John 18, 15 through 18. You can set it up any way you want. I'm just trying to help you get a picture of what's going on here. Okay? Good. Now let's go to Matthew 26. In Matthew chapter 26, and by the way, I forgot to do that with Mark 14, but you might want to put a ribbon because we'll be going back and forth. I want to cover the different references for you. And we're going to Matthew 26, so you'll probably want to put some ribbon or a card to hold the space because we'll be going back and forth, okay? In Matthew chapter 26... Verse 57, it says, and they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to what? Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. So obviously, they took him into Annas, and then from Annas, he was transferred to Caiaphas, who had already set up to have a meeting with the elders and the scribes. And they were all assembled. So this was already planned out, that they were going to take him and exactly what they were going to do. So Jesus is where? At Caiaphas. At Caiaphas's. Okay, this is important so we can make sure we're keeping these locations separate. And they help us establish where he is and what's going on at the time. Wonderful. Okay. Now let's go to verse 69, and it says in verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. So this is another situation. He's sitting, and he's outside the palace, and a damsel, another damsel, this is a different one. It's not the same one that was at the door. I'll show you. Look at, let's go to Mark 14. And in Mark 14, verse 53, it says, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. So again, Jesus has gone from Annas's over to Caiaphas's, and Peter followed him afar off into the palace of the high priest, and he what? Sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. So Peter sees that fire, he goes over there, and he sits down. Got it?
Yep.
Okay. So now we'll go to... let's go to, where am I looking at? Mark 6, let's go to Mark 66, 14, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. This is a different woman. It's not the one at the gate. They're both females, yes, but it's not the same female. This maid is the maid of the high priest. The other one was a young female doorkeeper, a porter. This one is a maid of the high priest, okay? And Peter is doing what?
Warming himself.
He's sitting, warming himself. He's right by the fire. Okay. Then verse 67, it says, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. So here is a second woman. It's an accusation. This one is in the courtyard. So if you look at the courtyard, I put a number 2, and then I put maid, but maybe in parentheses you want to put servant of the high priest. And I've got the different verses that relate to this listed. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And in verse 55, it says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter did what?
Sat.
Now, Peter's sitting. We need to keep that in mind because other situations will come up and he's not sitting, and it makes reference to that. Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he, Peter, denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Okay, so there's the second one. Beautiful. So, under who? A maid of the high priest, not the doorkeeper. What? This man was with him. Where are they? They're sitting at a fire. When? When Jesus was moved from Annas to Caiaphas. See how you can figure this out and get a totally different look at this. So now let's go to Luke 22, and in verse 58, it says, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, look at the next word, man, I am not. Hey, man, hey, me. Man, so this tells us it's a what?
Man.
A man. Has to be a different denial, correct? Okay. So again, at the courtyard near the fire, a man confronts him, and Peter makes his denial. Beautiful. So we have who? A man. What? Thou art also of them. Where? They're sitting at the campfire. When? When Jesus is before Caiaphas. So that one happened at the campfire. So to review, you had a young female at the entry door, a damsel. Peter denies he's a disciple. He sees a fire, goes out to the courtyard, off the porch into the courtyard. Another maid that's a maid of the high priest comes and says, he says to her, woman, I don't know him. Then you have a short time passing and a man, and he says, I don't know him. So by about this time, I'm sure Peter's getting a little nervous because he's been ID'd a couple of times in this situation. So he's going to go out to the porch. And then in Mark 14, let's go to Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 68. It says, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and what?
The cock crew.
So you have three denials and a cock crows. That could have been 12:30 in the morning. Really something. So we have three denials, just like Jesus said, and a what? cock crow, just like Jesus said was going to happen. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Again, some of these verses, you have to be careful because some of the verses are tied to something different. The first half of the verse, but then the second half is in a different situation. So you just be watchful of it. But we know that Jesus did not lie when he told him that he's going to deny me thrice before the cock crow. And there we have three and the cock crow, just like Jesus said it was going to happen. Really something. Matthew chapter 26, verse 71. It says, "And when he was gone into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." This is a third person, a third female. And again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." So here it tells us it's a different situation. He's even given an oath. "I swear on a stack of Bibles, I don't know the man." But, you know, I'm trying to keep this light because you know, you think about how hard that had to have been for Peter. Now, he may not have even heard the cock crow, but he just swore, "I'll go to prison, I'll go to death, I will do whatever it takes. I am not going to forsake you." And here he's already up to the fourth time he's going to deny his Lord. I mean, a person could consider him, "My God, what a loser. He's denying his Lord. He's denying the Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world could that happen?" I'm sure Peter's wondering, "What the hell is wrong with me? How in the world is this happening?" Oh. But you know what? Other than the disciple that knew the high priest, there's no other disciples there with him. You know, Peter said, I would even go to prison and die for you. He's not looking forward to it. Bless his heart. And he's still there. Something. Well, look at Mark 14. What a challenging night for this wonderful man. Of course, we know Peter in the book of Acts. We know all these other things. They are yet to happen for Peter. And here was Jesus telling, remember, at the supper, "Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Take all the good out of you." And he makes his claim. And Jesus says, "You know, I'm praying for you to be strong and that when the time comes, you will strengthen the disciples." And here he must feel like an absolute failure. But, and so confused and so hurt. Well, Mark 14. Let's go with verse 68, but we're really looking at the B part, the second half of it. "And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew, and the maid..." Where am I here? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here we go. "And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by..." This is one of them. The word "again" is not in some of the codexes and probably shouldn't be there. I think the Greek would read after more fluidly, and the maid saw him after the cock crew. Got it? And began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it, and a little after they stood by, said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth with thee thereto." Something. This maid, and this is up on the porch, so I put number four. This is the fourth time. You have another maid. And she confronts him that he's one of the disciples, and she says, you're even a Galilean. She recognized the accent. Forget about it. It was wicked cool, man. I mean, you can tell in the United States where people are from many times just by their speech. She knew he was a Galilean. Really something. So that's the fourth denial. We're going for the fifth. Now, at this time, Peter's really shook up because there's a group of people there, and she says, "Your speech bereath, you are a Galilean, and you're one of his disciples." And Peter's really getting nervous, so he decides to go back by the fire again. Anyway, and in Mark 14, it's another woman. What? This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. When did it happen? Jesus was with Caiaphas. And where? It's on the porch. Now, Peter gets off the porch and wanders back to the fire. Verse 70, it says, "And he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, 'Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, thy speech bereath thee.' But he began to," what?
Curse.
"And to swear, saying, 'I know not this man of whom you speak.'" So, something. there are other records. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. This is going to be the fifth time. Matthew 26, verse 77. No, it can't be. Matthew 73, I'm sorry. "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, 'Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bereath thee.'" So he's standing at the fire, he's talking a little bit, and they're hearing his accent, and they're catching on. Wait a minute, what's going on here? "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man,' and immediately the cock crew." Well, that part doesn't fit in there. I'll show you how that works. Let's go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Verse 25. "Now there stood by the..." That's 1925. I keep turning too many pages. 1825. "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself." So he's back at the fire, and it's what? He's what?
Warming himself.
He's warming himself, and he's standing. This is different from number two, remember? "They say therefore unto him, 'Art not thou one of his disciples?' He denied it and said, 'I am what?
Not.
So here we have the fifth denial. There's several people there, and he makes his denial. Okay? and who, the scriptures say they, a group, what? Surely thou art one of them, you're a Galilean. Where is he? He's standing at the fire. And when is it happening? Jesus is before Caiaphas. Okay. So here we have a fifth denial. Well, great. Let's go to verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see you at the garden? Yeah. You would give my brother a hearing test. Or my cousin, whatever. Peter then, what?
Denied again.
And immediately, the what?
Cock crew.
So here you have three denials. Three more denials. The first one is on the porch with another maid, another woman. The fifth one is back at the fire. There's several people standing around, and they confront him, and he starts having cursing out and all of that stuff. And then the sixth one is the servant of the high priest's cousin who was present at the arrest, and immediately after that, the cock crew. So here you have all these different situations. John 18, who, a servant, a relative of Malchus? What? I saw you in the garden. Where? He's at the campfire. When? Jesus is at Caiaphas's. And as Peter makes his final denial, the cock crows for the second time, and Peter must have caught Jesus' eyes as he moved from one place to another through the palace. Jesus is beaten and bloody, and he catches Peter's eyes, and the cock crows for the second time. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 61. It says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. So you have the second set of three with another maid on the porch. You have several people at the fire. And then you have the servant of the high priest who was present at the arrest. But, you know, God is so forgiving. I mean, the next thing it says, verse 62, and Peter went out and what? Because he looks through, somehow he saw in there, and his eyes locked with Jesus, and for some reason Jesus was looking the same way, and their eyes locked on each other, just as the cock crow. Man. And, you know, Jesus is beaten, he's bloody, and Peter just couldn't take it. His heart just broke, and he went out and wept bitterly. But, you know, God is so forgiving. God is so kind and so loving. And men can recover themselves. And men do recover themselves. You see, I just cannot leave Peter here. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. Because, yes, that did occur with Peter. It did happen to Peter. But Peter was a wonderful man, and Peter was strong and courageous and just great of heart. And I want to share this last part with you to just show you how a man can recover himself and what happens when he does. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. It says, ye men, it actually starts up, but Peter standing with the 11 on the day of Pentecost, verse 22, says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of what? He's not denying it now. He is not denying it now. What a change happens in a man's life, a woman's life, when they're born again of God's Spirit, and they can really live the convictions they so want to be in their heart, really live with the power and the strength that they so desire in their hearts. Well, he said, this Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So you can't deny it either. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Then let's look at verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are what?
Witnesses.
I'm not denying now. I'm not hiding out now. I am a witness of it. And then in verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and what?
Christ.
He is a wonderful Savior and a wonderful Lord, and our God is forgiven. And even those men who were responsible for the cruelty to him, even those men who came for the arrest of him, will be forgiven, can be forgiven, and a man can change, and a man can live dynamic and powerfully, and so can any woman. So bless your hearts. I've enjoyed sharing this teaching with you, and we'll get on to some other of the great truths in the Word of God. Bless your hearts.